Lily, the girl who wished for the world. Alias Finchley, proprietor of Finchley Fine Antiquities, was a man of meticulous habits and an exacting eye. His shop, tucked into a cobblit alley, was a treasure trove of the forgotten and the curious. Gilded mirrors with a clouded reflection, tarnished silver tea sets, and yellowed manuscript bound in a cracked leather. Alias himself resembled a relic, tall and lean, with a shock of silver hair and skin, etched in a lifetime's worth of wrinkles. News of an apprentice position at the renowned shop spread like wildfire throughout the dusty learned circles of the city. Scores of hopeful folk, but it was young Rosalind Prince, a bookwormish girl with ink-stained fingers and an unquestionable thirst for the past, who captured the antiquities, who captured his discerning eye. Her first task seemed deceptively simple, cataloging a new arrived collection of porcelain figurines, shepherds and shepherdess, adorned with flouncy boughs and folded roses. But as Rosalind lifted each fragile piece, a strange prickling sensation danced down her spine. Closing her eyes, she felt not cool proclaim, but whispered conversational snatched of laughter echoing from a distant ballroom. The flicker of candlelight on painted faces. Troubled, she brought her peculiar vision to Elias. The old man listened, his face shadowed a flicker of something akin to recognition dancing in his eyes. The objects, the murmured, they carried echoes, fragments of lives they have witnessed. He took her to the back room, a repository of even stranger wares, an intricately carved music box that played a haunting, wordless melody, a cracked telescope set to reveal glimpses of alternative timelines. It was there, amidst the whisper and murmurs of the past, that Alice began Rosalind's true apprenticeship. Among those who braved the shadow thresholds of Blackwood's abode was Lady Serfina, a woman of aristocratic bearing and heart forever shrouded in mourning. A year prior, her beloved younger brother, Julian, had vanished without a trace, leaving behind only an intricately carved ivory comb. Serfina clung to this solitary object, the scent of his sandalwood cologne still faintly discernible, discreet for any clue to his fate. Silas received her with a solemnity bordering on the funeral. He took the comb, turning it into his long, pale fingers like an oracle examining runes. His eyes closed, the storm gray darkening to a near black. When he finally spoke, his voice was barely more than a breath. The sea, its cold breath, the grasp of ropes, the creaks of woods under strain, a map clutched in trembling hand, marked with crimson X. Serfina gasped, a flicker of terrible hope blooming into her eyes. Julian was a sailor, a restless soul forever drawn into the Syrian call of the horizon. But there are other voices, Silas murmured, his brow furrowing, laughter, cruel and mocking. The glint of steel in starlight. A sense of foreboding swept Serfina, a clammy dread seeping into her bones. Desperate for more, she pressed him, but the whisper weaver fell into the ear silence, as if the echoes had abruptly retreated. With a heavy heart, Serfina departed, the ivory comb clutched against her aching chest. Her determination hardened to a cold resolve. Julian was out there, alive, or she refused to let her mind venture to that terrible end. She would charter a ship, hire a crew and follow the whispers Silas had Glen. The voyage was an ordeal of storm-tossed sea and salt-stung winds. More than once, Serfina questioned her sanity. This relentless pursuit of whisper and spectral vision. But amidst the tempest, the fragile thread of hope